Yeah, good afternoon. Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. We will silence all cell phones. The time is 1:40 p.m. on Thursday, May 4th, 2023. Co-Chair Hoffman, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Keel are all here. We have one bill on the agenda, that's Senate Bill 114 by the Rules Committee. We first heard this bill on March 31st. We adopted a committee substitute and heard invited testimony. Today we're open, here for public testimony. We've got a 2-minute limit for that, and we'll go ahead and start with those people in the room. Do we have anybody in the room who wants to go ahead and testify? Nobody in the room wants to testify? What's that?
John.
Come on up to the table and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Pretty short shrift. Thanks. Nothing like energy efficiency. Contrary to, don't need to go into that.
I am John Sonin, S-O-N-I-N. Okay. I live over on Douglas, across the pond, and I'm here to support 114 regarding an economical reestablishment of a balance in our economy. I am always, after Reaganomics, in support of reshifting the wealth of our gift of working together, creating the synergy, the extra energy from our labors that allows us to be civilized. Because more efficient use of the energy of our labors that produces the wealth that is due to those who work together, producing synergy. And that wealth means more funds for education, bottom line, that requires a democracy to function. It's an educated voter populace. I feel that the after some very don't want to get too negative here, but after some very imbalanced approaches to the fiscal plan in the state, we've decided that more money to the producers in this case, I don't know, call producing, they're just more like purgers of our resource wealth, is going to induce them to produce more. But in fact, we're seeing that what's happening is they're buying back and creating an autocratic society where we have kings we all have to answer to instead of each other, and the unity, because autocrats want distinction, separation, everybody to be loyal to them, not to each other. Trust is the key, which makes you think about that one. Trust is the key to capitalism. I mean,
so Mr. Sonner, I guess I'm confused as to whether you're for the bill or not for the bill.
I'm for 114. I thought I started off with that way. But I know, I realize I've gone way over time now, but to finish my point, trust is what we need more certain in our relationships, and that only comes when we don't want to take from each other. We don't want to have what each of us have that is more or less than myself.
So thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next we have up is
you.
Ed Davis, Mr. Ed Davis from Fairbanks. Are you on, sir?
Yes, you hear me?
You're coming in loud and clear.
So I'm just rhetorical question. Are any of you insiders to the oil industry? And anyway, I am. I worked for them for 28 years on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. And if you were insiders, there would be a fairly disturbing trend that you would see. Time after time, when the SB 21 oil tax special sweetheart deal came under threat, we would see paraded around by our management people promising to develop these giant new outlying oil fields. And I'll talk about one. Smith Bay by Kalis Production. Our top-level managers came to the pump station where I worked and all the others and let Kalis give this promotion, a 5-billion-barrel oil field in Smith Bay. And they said, oh, we just need this oil tax system in order to go ahead and develop it and add 200,000 barrels a day to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Now, similar things came up, say, with the Great Bear Field, the Anadarko discovery in the Galbraith area. I gave their top-level people a tour of the pump station. I said, what are you guys finding out there? And they said, we can't tell you, but we're going to refill your pipeline. And shortly after that, you saw an article in the Anchorage Daily News saying they found a Prudhoe Bay-sized oil field, a light sweet crude in the foothills of the Brooks Range. Now, I think, and also, when SB 21 first was introduced, Sean Parnell told us it's going to restore the pipeline to 1 million barrels a day. It would give us a well-funded state government to handle roads, cops, schools. It would radically increase employment. So as you saw in the last hearing, none of this is coming true. The trends are exactly the opposite of what they promised.
Davis, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. If you want to go ahead and finish up, we'll appreciate it.
Well, my message is take it away from them. They're playing hardball with us. We got to play hardball back. And if they earn it by developing the fields they promised.
McGuire, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next week we have Sean McGuire. Mr. McGuire, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate this opportunity. Come on, you guys. I mean, we are getting less money for our oil than anyone in the whole world. I mean, I think it's fair to say this is somewhat of a scandal. It's just embarrassing. We've just let the oil companies sucker us, this SB 21. I mean, they promised all kinds of stuff, and then just weeks, maybe 2 weeks after they got their giant tax break, they laid off, I think it was 400 and some people. I mean, it's just so painful to watch them sucker us over and over again. And, here in Fairbanks, they're talking about cutting $9 million out of the schools. The universities just hollowed out, whole programs gone. I remember I talked to Click Bishop, and he said he wanted to wait about this whole issue. He said he wanted to wait and see what happened with SB 21. Well, it's pretty clear that we got suckered. So I don't know. I mean, I generally think it's Republicans that gave them that, basically gift. And so I'm hoping the Republicans can take a hard look at this and say, okay, you guys weren't very honest with us, and claw some of this money back. All right. Thanks again. That's my pitch. Thanks.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Mr. McGuire. Next up we have is Randy Belts. Mr. Belts, sir.
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Randy Belts. I'm a lifelong Alaskan and reside currently in Anchorage. I'm the Vice President of Operations for North Star Terminal and Stevedore and North Star Equipment Services. I'm calling in to speak not only for myself, but for 43 of the employees that we polled asking the question, do you support Senate Bill 144 legislation? They answered, these 43 and myself, of course, answered no, we do not support Senate Bill 114. The passage of this bill and its new tax ramifications will hurt us as residents, as employers, and as part of the Alaska workforce. It's going to adversely affect projects that we're currently expecting to work on and that will cost jobs for people who we were hoping to employ. So we would like to ask that you please do not support Senate Bill 114. It's bad for Alaska business, and it's bad for Alaska and Alaskans. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Belts, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next up we have is Caroline Storm. Ms. Storm, are you on, ma'am?
I am. Thank you. Good afternoon, Senators. Thank you, as always, for taking public testimony and all that you invest in this committee. My name is Caroline Storm. I am a self-employed architect of Anchorage and a resident of Alaska for, over 21 years. I am calling in support of SB 114. Here are three indisputable facts. ConocoPhillips posted an $18.7 billion profit in 2022. The amount of money that the legislature is agonizing over to increase the BSA is a measly 0.01% of the ConocoPhillips profit from last year. And the oil company spent $25 million to convince Alaskans to vote no on Prop 1 in 2020. In his presentation to this body, Mr. Rosario quite appropriately was advocating for the oil industry, their profits, and their longevity. As an architect, I know that even if we stop burning fossil fuels for transportation, we will always need oil, as it is a key component of plastics and coatings, and in turn, thousands of building materials. Oil is not going anywhere. So Bill SB 114 becomes an issue of values and priorities. Is Alaska going to continue to bend to the pressures of the oil industry, or is Alaska going to prioritize the needs of its citizens and especially its children? While Mr. Rogerio argued that policy should stay the same so that corporations can remain nimble, I say that what we need is a nimble and well-educated young populace that will bring innovative ideas and businesses that will drive the Alaska economy in the future. While the oil industry is asserting that they will go elsewhere if any changes are made to the tax system, we have 30% of our best and brightest 18 to 30-year-olds leaving the state and not coming back because they do not see a future in the state. So I leave you with one question. Is this body going to protect the future of oil companies or the future of Alaskan citizens? Because they are not the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Storm. We appreciate you calling in today. Next up is someone with a great name, Merrick Pierce from Fairbanks. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, good afternoon, co-chairs and committee members. This is Merrick Pierce of Fairbanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Well, right now at $74 oil and a 500,000 barrel per day throughput, we got about $13.5 billion gross value of oil being taken from Alaska every year, and we're getting a paltry amount of return on that. SB 114 is a very modest reform, and more is needed, but the fiscal note shows it can come close to closing our structural deficits, and I support it. Senator Bishop, I've known you for a long time, and I note that when SB 21 was passed a decade ago, you promised that you would lead the charge to fix it if it didn't work. Well, we now know the significant damage SB 21 has caused. We can quantify it. As of the year 2020, since SB 21, we have paid the producers more to produce our oil and pay credits than they've paid us in production taxes. Before SB 21, we received an average of $3.8 billion per year in production tax revenue. Our university is worse off, so is our marine highway. We've spent roughly $20 billion from savings in the SBR and the CBR. We've reduced Alaskans' dividends from the statutory formula since 2016, and that cost to each Alaskan is over $10,651 from the latest numbers from the Department of Revenue. This is a loss of more than $50,000 for a family of five. Alaska has a significant out-migration, and now Governor Dunleavy wants to impose a highly regressive sales tax that will create a lot of stress and headache for small business, but more important, will force the poorest Alaskans to subsidize the corporate welfare provisions of SB 21. The credits we pay under SB 21 have cost Alaska more than $7.2 billion over the last 10 years, and that is the approximate amount of money Alaskans have lost to smaller dividends. As bad, Alaska, unlike any rational investor, doesn't even take an equity ownership position proportionate to the corporate welfare dollars we pay out. It's utter madness.
Can you wrap up?
Because, I'm sorry?
Your time has come to an end. Can you please wrap up?
I will wrap up and give me 20 seconds, please. So the bottom line is this. I'm a ConocoPhillips shareholder. I support SB 21. SB 114. A smart fiscal plan for Alaska with three elements. You got to pass SB 114. You got to get a fair value for our oil. And if we want to reduce dividends to grow the corporates and not for corporate welfare, as is the case today, this is what you could do.
Okay.
If you simply grew the fund at 6%.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. We appreciate you calling today. Next, Layla Kimbrell, the Executive Director of Resource Development Council for Alaska. Ms. Kimbrell, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Layla Kimbrell, Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. I am here to testify in opposition of SB 114. RDC represents Alaska's fishing, tourism, timber mining, and oil and gas industries. For more than 47 years, we have advocated for a strong, diversified private sector in Alaska to expand the state's economic base through responsible development of our natural resources. We have long held the position that a responsible fiscal policy should be balanced against a meaningful spending limit, policies that encourage expansion of a diverse private sector, reducing the budget deficit in a way that encourages long-term investment in our private sector, and combined with that, stability in tax policy that is critical to enhance our competitiveness among all industries. Substantially increasing taxes on one single industry, as SB 114 would, is not the way to do that. A new version of the bill claims to eliminate the ring fencing provision, but as we read the bill, provisions still remain in the current version. We oppose this. Even if eliminated in a future version, however, the act of introduction has created serious concern with respect to current investments on the North Slope that could be irreversible. These issues should not be taken lightly. There are also concerns with the specific targeted nature of the S-Corp provisions in the bill, which we understand are now moved to SB 122, unfairly discriminates against one company and impacts several more. This will chill investment, including future investment in Cook Inlet, a resource critical to lowering energy costs in Alaska. We also oppose the reduction in the per barrel tax credit at this time for similar reasons. This bill is aimed at a short-term fix for the current budget situation. However, we encourage you to consider how this impacts our long-term competitiveness. It's not just a simple fix. Our tax system is intricate, and moving one piece without consideration for the whole will disrupt the overall system. Additional careful, in-depth analysis and independent modeling is needed. Under our current system, the government share is still higher than producers at nearly every price point, and the state is paid even when companies operate at a loss because you still collect royalties, property tax, and a gross production tax.
Please wrap up.
At a time when our resource, if I could be provided a few more seconds, I'm almost done.
Thank you.
At a time when our resources industries face unprecedented challenges at the federal level, we see more politically based decision-making aimed at limiting Alaska's development potential. Changing tax policy now in the state will cumulatively worsen investment climate here. Less investment means less production means lower throughput means impacting many well-paying industries supporting jobs in Alaska, and we ultimately leads to less revenue. So it begs the question, and it is, what is it that you hope to achieve by fast-tracking SB 114, and what message do you send by fast-tracking significant tax increases after fighting so hard to get projects like the Willow Project approved? So
thank
for these
you,
reasons
Kimbrell,
and others, we
appreciate you calling in today. I'll remind testifiers that we have 2 minutes to present their testimony. Next, from Anchorage, Pete Stokes. Welcome to Senate Finance. Place yourself on the record and begin your testimony, please.
Hi, my name is Pete Stokes, and I'm a consulting engineer in Anchorage, having grown up in Alaska and worked several places around the world. I urge you not to pass SB 114, as just like ACEs, it will decrease capital spent on our existing fields with a resultant decrease in production through TAPS, which will decrease state revenues and jobs. The passage of ACE has led to a huge drop in capital investment by the producers and the drastic decline in TAPS throughput. a fair tax regime was worked out by the state to be competitive and attracting capital, SB 21, and it's resulted in the stable tax regime that has led to active North Slope exploration and development with Pika and Willow now coming online soon, along with GMT development in MTRA using the Alpine facilities. These projects and additional capital invested in the bigger North Slope fields has allowed the stabilization of TAPS throughput at about 500,000 barrels a day. With the current federal administration's use of regulations and actions to drive oil and gas out of business, any increase in state taxes, including the reduction of credit or deductions in the tax calculation, will lead to the same type of capital flight that was seen after ACES, which will lead to drastic TAPS declines in existing fields. Please don't pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stokes. Next, from Anchorage, Catherine Chambers. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Catherine Chambers, and I live in Anchorage. I was born and raised in Alaska, but later my family and I moved out of state for 9 years. After graduating from college, I returned to Alaska by choice to start my professional career because of our state's history of great opportunities. I oppose SB 114 because I believe the long-term impacts to the state will hurt the economy and cause more Alaskans to leave the state. One of the biggest challenges facing Alaska today is the influx of young people like myself leaving the state and never returning. And the passage of this bill will hurt, not help this issue, since it will put good Alaskan jobs at risk. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. Next, from beautiful Eagle River, is Alan Straw. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Alan Straw. I'm a born-raised Alaskan, mature all my life. And the only issue that I have with SB 114 is that it does not go anywhere near far enough to recapture the revenue that we have unwarrantedly given away to the oil companies for years. Billions of dollars that should have gone to fund state services and education went directly to oil company shareholder dividends while starving the state. Oil company shareholder dividends. The $8 barrel credit is an absolute abomination. That bit should be reduced to zero. I knew that SB 21 was bad policy when they passed it, but had no idea how bad until listening to the testimony from Mr. Breena and Dr. Myers. How, with any conscience at all, could anyone in the legislature propose taxing Alaskans while at the same time greasing oil company shareholders at our expense? That's absolutely unacceptable. The oil companies have managed to rip off the state of Alaska for decades. How many times has the state been required to sue the oil companies for royalties that were not paid, only to settle those suits for pennies on the dollar? That's pretty damning in itself. And now we find that the incentive in SB 21 resulted in 25% of the development that we saw before SB 21. No, absolutely not. Pass this bill as a stopgap and keep going to recapture the money that we desperately need to fund state services. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Straw. We appreciate your time. Next, from Anchorage with Saltchuk, is Dave Karp. Welcome to Senate Finance. Place yourself on the record and begin your testimony. Thank you. Mr. Karp, are you available? We will come back. Next in Anchorage is Edward Wesley. Mr. Wesley, please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to the committee. I am a 50-year Alaskan resident and also a former business owner. I have benefited from the oil and gas industry, both my wife and I. She's retired from that industry. I recognize that oil and gas is the primary, the number one revenue generator for the state. And I also recognize that oil and gas as a company will prioritize for their stockholders. The state of Alaska needs to take the same approach that the oil companies take, looking out for the bottom line for the citizens of the state, and also recognizing that there are other revenue generators in this state, and that small businesses need the stability of a fiscal projected government that is stable. And I think that Senate Bill 114 helps in that direction by bridging that fiscal gap, and will set the environment for small businesses. And that's where we need to go, is with small businesses. Small businesses, the Americans have more confidence in small businesses as institutions more than any other institutions. So I strongly support SB 114. As legislatures look at this as a priority, the same way that the oil companies look at it for their company, you must look at it for your citizens, the Great. Services that have to be delivered.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Wesley. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. Next in Homer, Richard Gustafson. Please go ahead with your testimony after placing yourself on the record.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for being able to talk to you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, I was going to try to testify on March 1st about this time, and I was unable to testify because oil company lobbyists or analysts were giving the same old spiel they always give, that if you pass 114, they'll leave the state. I strongly support 114. I sent Senator Stevens a question. How much money do we make on a barrel of oil? And since the passage of SB 21, you can never get a straight answer. Well, thank goodness I was able to hear Mr. Brenner's commentary on exactly what's happening to Alaska since SB 21 happened. I don't think he's lying to us. I think we're getting ourselves shortchanged by the oil companies. I encourage you, strongly encourage you, to support SB 114. I also encourage you to not give all these credits on Willow and Pica, and stop giving our oil away for free. Start supporting our permanent fund dividend, and don't send all the money to Texas. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in today. Next in Anchorage, we have Jesse Carlstrom. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Jesse Carlstrom calling from Anchorage. I'm lifelong Alaskan, grew up in Fairbanks, and now live in Anchorage, where I work with Tote Maritime. I'd like to speak in opposition of SB 114. I believe that the passage of SB 114 would be detrimental to our business. And I appreciate your consideration. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carlstrom. We appreciate you calling in. In Anchorage, Richard Faulkner, please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. My name is Richard Faulkner. I'm president of Steel Fab Anchorage, Alaska. And I very much oppose Senate Bill 114. If everybody would look around, that most everything that is spent in this state comes from oil companies or from oil. And this is not a good way to do it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for calling in. Next in Anchorage with ASRC Energy Services, Ms. Christine Ressler. Welcome to Senate Finance. Place yourself on the record and begin your testimony, please.
Hi, this is Christine Ressler, and I'm the president and CEO of ASRC Energy Services. We have over 2,000 employees that work in the oil and gas industry, and I'm testifying in opposition to Senate Bill 114. It's a massive tax increase that threatens to cripple Alaska's oil and gas industry and all of the Alaskans here in the state. This piece of legislation will mean less jobs, higher energy costs, and less oil in the pipeline. This may even cause a natural gas shortage in South Central Alaska, further crippling the peninsula's economy. currently at the low prices, the credits are not needed because the gross minimum four. At high prices, they become less available due to step down and increase in cost. SB114 is a significant increase in taxes on large and small oil and gas companies, hitting both the North Slope and the Kirkland Inlet oil and gas fields, leading to fewer jobs and energy insecurity as electric utilities struggle to find enough natural gas to meet demand. I'm in the room today with a number of my colleagues, and we'll quickly just go around the room so they can also share their opposition to Senate Bill 114.
Hello, this is Liam Zolt. I also work with ASRC Energy Services. My 10-year career in the Alaska energy industry has been made possible by a stable fiscal environment. I oppose SB 114. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Jeremy Parker. I also oppose Senate Bill 114.
And this is Lauren Hendricks, Director of Marketing and Proposals for ASRC Energy, and I oppose this bill as well.
This is Luke Bochelle, and I also oppose this bill.
Thank you very much for the time to testify. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Ressler. We appreciate you calling in. Next in Anchorage, Joe Mathis. Mr. Mathis, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Joe Mathis. I'm a small business owner on Montana Creek Campground. I've been in Alaska since 1975. I'm opposed to Senate Bill 114. When we are faced with a very adversarial federal government and administration that is trying to shut down Alaska's resource industry and oil and gas, this is not a time that we should be focused on negative legislation, and this tax is a piece of negative legislation. If we want to put our energy and our efforts into making more production, more oil into the pipeline, the fundamental question that I would have for you is, will this legislation put more oil into the pipeline? And I think the answer to that is no. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mathis. We appreciate you calling. In Fairbanks, Arlie Hitchcock, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record, and you can begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, yes. My name is Arlie Hitchcock, and I'm calling on behalf of myself from Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. It's been really interesting to listen to other people's testimony. I'm calling in support of SB 114. For the past 40 or so years, fossil fuel companies have claimed to bring economic prosperity to Alaska, and that in order to do that, they need an exorbitant amount of government support in the form of subsidies and tax breaks, which makes them the largest recipient of welfare in the state. I can't remember who it was, but it was a previous commenter listed how much money we've lost since SB 21 as a state. And I'm sure everyone on this line knows that we're in a financial crisis as a state with our state budget. Meanwhile, oil and gas companies have posted record-breaking profits year after year since the passage of SB 21, while Alaskans are faced with historically high fuel prices. These companies are also bankrupting current generations and robbing future generations from a livable climate. I support SB 114 and think that the money used from SB 114, which is supposed to be $190 million in revenue in 2024. I think we should use that money to support our communities and the transition off of fossil fuels to renewable energy, which the Alaska Renewable Energy Future Report estimates would bring a net gain of 100,000 renewable energy jobs that I know people in my generation would be much more interested in than working in the oil and gas industry. And I know lots of people who are in my generation and have left the state because of lack of jobs and fields that they want. So I am full-heartedly in support of this bill and hope that we don't give in to the fear-mongering of these oil companies as they're posting their record-breaking profits. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hitchcock. We appreciate you taking the time to testify. I will note that 2:15 was the cutoff to be in the queue to testify, and so we will move forward. In Anchorage, Kelly Drew, welcome to Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Kelly Droop, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan, hoping my daughters in college will return to Alaska for their own careers, and I believe SB 114 is a bad idea. Alaska is finally on the brink of tremendous job opportunities and future revenues from new oil and gas development and some of the most expensive locations for producers to develop and maintain. We already have so much headwind from activists and banks outside of Alaska, those who have no idea how we do ESG better than anywhere. Why do we throw up another barrier for our economic recovery? Producers, large and small, want to invest billions in our state, and they need to be able to predict the return on investment. Changing oil taxes every time we can't balance our budget is like a bad adjustable rate mortgage. You wouldn't want that risk over 30 years on your home, and producers won't continue to invest here if they cannot rely on consistent support from our state. Please don't put our state's future opportunities and jobs and revenue at risk. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. We appreciate your testimony. Next in Anchorage, Christine Williams. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Christine Williams. I was born in Alaska. Now I'm a CPA with a small local firm. It's been fascinating to listen to everyone's testimony. Really appreciate the opportunity. I heard Robin Brina's testimony this week and was very impressed. While I don't know what the future reserves are in our oil fields, and I also recognize that site remediation costs will be significant, which would make new investors less inclined to choose sites close to decommissioning, I absolutely agree that permitting an S-Corp to profit off our resources is very poor stewardship. And then to offer tax credits to that private entity paying no corporate income tax is just spineless. Was there really, truly no other entity willing to buy BP's leases? How do we agree to a situation like this? Specifically, who's benefiting? Are there close ties with Hillcorp executives, with certain Alaskans who stand to prosper with this relationship? I've recently flown on plane flights next to two different Hillcorp employees leaving and returning from work hitches. Both have family outside of Alaska where they own homes, but they were incentivized by Hillcorp to stay in Alaska for a minimum period of time to obtain AK residency, not to collect the PFD, but to allow them to vote on key issues that impact Hillcorp. As Hillcorp's already invested and begun operations, is it possible to require they change to a C-Corp or create a new C-Corporation specifically for ops in Alaska? If that type of legislation isn't possible, at the very least, a reduction and preferably an elimination of tax credits seems very fair and appropriate. If they haven't met promised performance objectives, legislation seems absolutely appropriate to protect our resources. As fossil fuel dependency becomes less relevant in the future, we should be prudently seeking to maximize our current share of the profits and investigate ways to embrace alternative energy, possibly with the companies that are already here.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. I hope this is... wrap up your comments.
I support SB 114.
Great. Thank you very much for calling today. Next, we'll go to the Anchorage LIO, Lois Epstein. Welcome to Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Lois Epstein, and I am a licensed engineer in Alaska with my own small business, L&E Engineering and Policy, which provides consulting services. I am here representing myself. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. As background, I have over 20 years of experience weighing in on oil and gas issues in Alaska to avoid development in ecologically sensitive areas, minimize footprints, and prevent releases. I have served on two National Academies of Science committees addressing oil infrastructure and its regulation. A few years back, I tried to analyze which oil companies benefited most from SB 21. Was it large or small companies, companies that have been in Alaska for decades, or those that had recently arrived, companies exploring in new areas, or those expanding existing operations? I spent two full days trying to understand the impact of SB 21. And I'm a numbers person, and I was unable to reach clear conclusions. Clearly, SB 21 was written by the oil industry to be highly complicated, gameable by the companies, as Dr. Meyer testified, and essentially unauditable and unenforceable without an enormous state oversight staff. Hillcorp's presence in Alaska as a C corporation has made the state's revenue picture even worse under SB 21 and unleveled the playing field for other oil companies. SB 114 fixes this problem. SB 114 would enact changes to SB 21 that would alter the production tax rate. This modest adjustment is necessary but not sufficient to mitigate all the revenue and oversight problems with SB 21. Nevertheless, any improvement to SB 21 is one that should be approved. The drop in state revenue since passage of SB 21 was enacted has been dramatic, and we need to start fixing the problem ASAP. I support passage of SB 114 and thank the sponsors and others for moving this bill forward.
Thank you very much, Ms. Espin. We appreciate you coming in from the LIO. And next up in Anchorage, Lori Funai. Welcome to Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to provide testimony opposing Senate Bill 114. For the record, I am Lori Fagnani, and I'm a business owner in Anchorage. Our company is MSI Communications, and we are one of hundreds of the service providers that work directly for the producers. My business supports 26 employees who live in South Central, and as the oil and gas industry expands and contracts, so does our employee base and our bottom line. As a small business owner, I certainly can understand the cost of goods sold and how it influences decisions I make in my business. Reducing the per barrel credit by $3 per barrel, the state will increase taxes by $2.5 billion over the next 10 years. The more expensive it comes, the less money producers will have to invest in developing Alaska's resources. You simply cannot extract that much money from investors and expect no reaction. There's a saying that says, past performance predicts future behavior. Between 2007 and 2013, the state had an oil tax system called ACES that was uncompetitive. Producers could make much more everywhere else. As a result, even though oil prices in that period exceeded $100 per barrel and investment was booming worldwide, in Alaska, North Slope production dropped during that same six-year period. Under that plan, the state was going to make less money at the higher tax rate, and here we are again having the same debate and the thumb wrestle to increase our government take. Alaska should be helping grow the number of producers by creating a stable win-win environment that grows the overall barrels of oil and cubic feet of gas, rather than threatening their production. If we work together to grow the pie, not the government take, the state will have plenty of money it needs for essential services, including more funding for school and getting our workforce up to speed. I encourage you to put this anti-oil debate to rest and seek out ways to grow and stabilize the industry. That is the one thing that is going to help small businesses like mine. I appreciate your time and for listening to my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori. Next from Kasilov, George Pierce. Welcome to Senate Finance. Place yourself on the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is George Pierce. I've been a resident of Kasilov since 1989, and I want to thank Bill Witkowski for bringing us SB 114. And yes, I am in favor of this bill. It's a start, but it needs to be amended some. First, I'd like to say our oil and gas industry is not a protected class, and yes, it can be taxed. Your constitutional job as legislators is to get the maximum benefit for our resources. SB 114 is a start. It will fix some of the flaws allowed under SB 21. The $8 per barrel should go to zero. Get rid of all the $8. Anyway, that $8 per barrel cost Alaska $1.2 billion per year, and our oil companies take that money. They don't invest it here, people. They invest it elsewhere outside of Alaska. Prudhoe Bay has declined, and for every $2.50 in credits, we might receive $1 in return. There's no production resulted. Investment went from $877 million to $220 million investment. We need our fair share of our oil. It would give us new revenue, reduce the credits and loopholes in SB 21, and it costs $100 million plus a year. And now we have several large producers paying zero in corporate income tax. What happened to the 1 million barrels a day and more jobs? We went from 15,000 workers in 2013 to 6,000 workers to date.
And
thank
a
you,
third of
Pierce,
them
please wrap your comments up.
Out of state and don't pay any taxes. Our PFD was supposed to grow, and now the industry only puts in 20 to 30% towards our budget, and the people's PFD is contributing over 60% into the budget.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pierce. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. Next is President Katie Capozzi with the Alaska Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record.
Co-chairs and members of the Senate Finance Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi, and I serve as the President and CEO of the Alaska Chamber. I am testifying today in strong opposition to Senate Bill 114. The Alaska Chamber was founded in 1953 and is Alaska's largest statewide business advocacy organization. Our mission is to promote a healthy business environment in Alaska. The Alaska Chamber has several longstanding policy positions to support and encourage the growth of the oil and gas industry here in Alaska, including a specific position to, quote, support and encourage a positive investment climate that provides certainty and stability for statewide oil and gas activities, and to oppose efforts to increase oil and gas taxes. SB 114 is in direct conflict with this position as it seeks to impose a multi-layered and massive tax increase on large and small oil and gas companies, which could cripple Alaska's economy. As many know, one in four jobs in Alaska can be attributed to the oil and gas industry, and SB 114 would have far-reaching negative consequences throughout our broader economy, threatening jobs all across the state. The Chamber has another policy position to, quote, oppose new targeted taxes. While SB 114 itself is a targeted tax, there is a provision within it that specifically targets S corporations. As the state's broadest business advocacy organization, the Chamber has grave concerns that if the legislature is going to open the door on S corporation taxation within the oil and gas sector, it will only be a matter of time before taxation on other S corps in Alaska are introduced. Will it be the fishing industry next? Thanks. Medical cooperatives. This provision is of great concern among all S corps registered in the state of Alaska. In closing, the Chamber strongly opposes SB 114, and we encourage a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Capozzi. We appreciate your time. Next in Douglas, Donald Bullock. Welcome to Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name's Donald Bullock. I'm a retired lawyer. I live in Douglas, Alaska, and my family moved to Alaska in 1955. I oppose Senate Bill 114. I don't think it's had the proper consideration by the legislature, and I was quite surprised that it only received a Finance Committee referral. My biggest concern is with the production tax provisions that are in the bill. The production tax is a tax on the person doing business in the act of producing. And it's not an income tax. It's a tax that's related on that activity in the state. The measure of the tax is production tax value, which is the point of delivery minus the transportation costs back to the slope. So when you look at the tanker costs, the pipeline costs, we have a relatively low wellhead value compared to other states and have more easy access to the markets. The tax is quite complicated. It starts off with 35% on the production tax value. And that production tax value starts with that netback value, and then it subtracts allowable lease expenditures, which the legislature enacted to come with the initial value. After that, there are tax credits that are applied, which are the subject of the production tax provisions of the bill. Those deductions and those credits have to be considered in line with 35% tax on production tax value to get a true picture of how competitive the state is. The state's considering more handicaps in its marketing of oil. Like I said, the transportation costs, for example, the tankers. Cherry Point, we love, because that's the shortest tanker route to a refinery. As it goes farther and farther, and fossil fuels are discouraged in Washington, California, our oil's going to have to go farther. Our wellhead values are going to be down. So I'm not saying that the production tax couldn't be amended or improved. I'm just saying this is not the bill to do it, and this is not the way to do it. The need for revenue is a poor reason for changing the tax on the industry that provides the most to Alaskans.
Thank you, Mr. Bullock. We appreciate you calling in today. Next in Anchorage, Carl Berger. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Carl Berger, and I'm a 58-year resident of Alaska, having lived in both western and northern Alaska and southeast, now retired and living in Anchorage. I urge support of Senate Bill 114 because it will apply our corporate income tax to all the major oil producers in Alaska, regardless of the corporate form they use here, and specifically the Hillcorp Oil Corporation owned by Mr. Hildebrand, who presently pays us no taxes. This action will still not provide us a fair return on our oil, but it is a step in the right direction for our revenue enhancement and will correct some of the many problems with Senate Bill 21. Folks, you know the oil companies are up here to earn revenue for themselves and their shareholders. That is their prime interest. And they have been very, very efficient in accomplishing that action. We need to get our fair share to solve the problems that we have in Alaska right now. Our workforce of young people are leaving the state, going to school and college elsewhere, and finding jobs outside of Alaska and not returning. That bodes poorly for our future in this state. Think of the people who live here, and let's make jobs for people so that they can stay in our state and have the education and the other services that we all need and want. Please do your duty and support Senate Bill 114. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for calling in, Mr. Berger. We appreciate it. Next up, Laura Bonner in Anchorage. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Bonner, and I'm retired. And I fully support SD 114 and was in line earlier this week to testify. So I listened to the testimony from Ioga and Mr. Rogerio, who wanted no changes from the failed SB 21 that's been in place for 10 years. They didn't address the fact that SB 21 did not increase production or investment in Alaska, and the number of jobs plummeted. Mr. Brina did address those failures of SB 21, but the most compelling testimony was for the passage of SB 14 or 114 came from Dr. Mark Myers, former DNR commissioner. I hope you will keep his comments in the forefront in your consideration of this bill. I sent written testimony last week asking you to pass SB 114, excuse me, and listed some of the ways that SB 21 cost Alaska. Passage of SB 114 will generate needed revenue this year by closing the S-Corp loophole and will tie any per barrel credit to investment in Alaska. Passage of SB 114 is the first step to reform the poorly designed SB 21 tax system. And thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bonner. We appreciate your time. Is there anyone else in the room or online wishing to testify on Senate Bill 114? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. And with that, we'll take a brief at ease. Senate Finance on the record. That concludes this afternoon's agenda. Tomorrow morning, we'll have more invited testimony on Senate Bill 114, as well as Senate Bill 122, Corporate Income Tax Digital Businesses by the Rules Committee, hearing from major oil companies, as well as the legislature's consultant, Gaffney Klein. And with no other business to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 2:37 p.m. Thank you.